Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, Paul's epistle to the Ephesian church. We're looking at the sixth chapter, verses 10 through 20. It's on page number 1824 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. You also have a bulletin insert that has some outlines, some fill-in-the-blanks, sermon notes to follow along as we go along. And I realized as I was working yesterday on preparing this and getting this tweaked, so to speak, that I had way too much content for one sermon. So we're going to split this outline up. Whew, boy, I know it looks like a lot. Well, we're going to do it in 2 weeks and extend our sermon series on spiritual warfare one more week and combine the themes of All Saints Day, those who are in the church triumphant, those who have won their battles and are resting in the Lord next week, combining with fighting the good fight here on earth, the church militant, and spiritual warfare. So anyhow, so that you have time to go down and have your baked potato luncheon that you're smelling and so forth. Didn't mean to call attention to that to distract you, but yes, I did. Anyhow, we are glad to be together, and this morning I want to share with you Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, on page number 1824. Hear now the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for me also, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear the word of God. Christian spiritual warfare. Did you know that we are at war? Did you know that we are at war and that we need to be covered with God's whole armor for our daily spiritual struggles? This is not some sporting competition. This is not war games, but spiritual war, real war. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, as Paul says here in the Bible. Spiritual warfare is a vital part of every Christian discipleship. Those that follow Christ need to be in prayer regularly, need to be reading the Bible, these daily disciplines of Christian discipleship, worship, witness, stewardship, and also evangelism. However, spiritual warfare is the one long and often neglected topic that churches sometimes pass over. And it's mostly because of ignorance. People don't know about this spiritual conflict, or unbelief, not believing that it's real, or out of fear. Spiritual conflicts, spiritual battles. I remember back when I was in college, a movie came out that was sensational and caught everybody's attention. And I decided that I ought to go see it to find out what everybody's talking about. I was brand new Christian, 2 years in the faith since I came to Christ. It was called The Exorcist. Perhaps you've heard of it. This time of year, these movies are always being played because people love to be scared for some reason. Playing in the devil's backyard, fear often comes from the devil. But The Exorcist. So we went, my friend and I, a Christian friend, went to see this. And afterwards, we had a Bible study on what the Bible actually says. The contrast between Hollywood's sensationalized supernatural stuff and the spiritual supernatural realities of the Bible. It was fascinating. So much so, and so intriguing was this theme to our culture. Everybody was talking about this movie. I did a speech on it in my public speaking class in college. And the secular professor in college was not too excited about spiritual themes, but I got an A anyhow, and people need to know. But we need to have a careful balance as we approach this subject. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author and apologist, in his introduction to his classic Screwtape Letters, I highly recommend Screwtape Letters to you. Great book. In the introduction, he says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased," that is, the demons, "are equally pleased by both errors." So we're not to be overly curious, the extreme of which would be satanic worship, worshiping the devil, of course, that is way extreme. I was talking to a Christian counselor friend of mine who goes and teaches to pastors in South America. He goes down to Chile and Peru, Venezuela, at least one week every year, and he runs into those who practice Santeria, and of course in Haiti we know about voodoo, occult religions. And there's, in our country today, a less overt but covert preoccupation with occult themes, Ouija boards, astrology, psychics, mediums, Reiki. There's a new age rage going on with all kinds of things that have to do with the devil's shady areas. Actually, this past week, I went to pick up my son. He was hitching a ride with his roommate. He was being dropped off just off the New Jersey Turnpike on Route 195 in the first town there, Allentown. I'd never been to Allentown before, being a South Jersey boy. And what a great little town. And we pulled into the Moth Cafe and ate vegan lunch. Imagine. I had to have a piece of cake afterwards to make up for it. Cream cheese ice. Well, anyhow, they had a couple non-vegan things. In that shopping center was a New Age spiritual store that sold and had tarot cards and psychic readings. I'm like, oh, man. And everywhere you go this week, there's all kinds of people wrapped up in fascinations, seances, and psychics, things. Don't be overly curious Play with this stuff. It's real. But also don't overestimate in this balance. Satan really exists, but he's not responsible for every sneeze. I don't believe that there's a demon behind every tree, and some people over-exaggerate and estimate the devil's involvement with our lives. So don't overestimate, don't underestimate. Like I said, some people don't believe that these supernatural realities are real. Some people think of Satan as a cartoon image with red pajamas and horns and a pitchfork and a tail. No. The devil, according to the Bible, is a fallen angel of light, Lucifer, one of the archangels who rebelled against God before human history. And he and one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven before Adam and Eve came to be. And the good news is if one-third were kicked out of heaven, two-thirds remain on the Lord's side, and we need not be afraid because they're outnumbered 2-1. But don't overestimate, don't underestimate, don't give the devil too much credit or be overwhelmed. The Bible teaches that God has put a hedge of protection around His children. Remember the devil's conversation with God in the prologue of the book of Job? Satan was saying, no wonder he serves you. No wonder Job serves you. You've put a hedge of protection around him. God didn't argue and say, no, I haven't. He assumed that that was the case. Know that God has guardian holy angels protecting you. That's good news. Remember also that Christ intercedes and prays for you. You remember the conversation that Jesus had with Peter the night that he was betrayed. Christ prophesied and said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that when you return, you can lift up your brothers. That's amazing. Christ prays for us in the midst of this spiritual conflict and confrontation, and it's good news that when we stand in His holy armor, God gives us the victory. Good news. Praise God. Don't be unaware, be alert, but yet at the same time, don't be alarmed, but be armed. As we saw 2 weeks ago, 1 Peter 5:8-9, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, we're still in the introduction, by the way. Aren't you glad we're doing this 2 weeks? Stand strong. Stand strong, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be strong in the Lord, as we just read. You're no match for the devil, even though he is not God. He is not all-powerful, all-present. He is not everywhere. But in our strength, we're no match. But we stand strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The Lord Almighty is with us. He who is within us is greater than he who is within the world. Praise God. It's not in our own strength confined. Our striving would be losing. Not in our own intellectual ability, but putting on the whole armor of God. Take your stand. Stand. Notice in those first verses, if you're still in that passage, the word stand is used 4 times in 2 verses. Standing. Stand your ground. Stand firm. Kind of like a boxer or a wrestler. Back when I was a wrestler, I told you that back in the beginning of high school days, I was a lot smaller then. Not much shorter, but I was 88 pounds. Can you imagine that? My freshman year, I can't even imagine it. Anyhow, first thing you learn is the stance, right? You got to be ready to be in a wrestling competition. Okay? Not standing flat-footed like this, be a pushover. You have to be in a stance, okay, so that you can take your stand in this conflict. Some of us are spiritual pushovers. Okay, when we look at this passage in the whole armor of God, which is our defense, right? Think of a Roman soldier and his armor that he would put on before going out in battle. Or think perhaps of a modern soldier going off to Afghanistan, making sure he is fully armed and covered with all of his armor. Or medieval knights, or NFL football players, right? They wouldn't go out there without their helmet or their pads. That would be crazy. So Christian, we need to be wearing our whole armor. Each one of these pieces of God's armor, I want to consider three things. First of all, that piece of armor's function, Satan's strategy to find the weakness there, and our spiritual protection in that piece of armor. So we're going to go down, we're going to cover two or three of these today, and in next week we'll pick up on the rest of them. But first of all, we have the belt of truth. We need to have the belt of truth buckled in this whole armor of God. What is the function of the belt? It holds the rest of your armor or clothing together in place. By God's truth, we know our salvation. By God's truth, we know how to be righteous. And all the rest of these issues, faith, righteousness, salvation, are all held in place by the belt of truth. Satan's strategy when it comes to truth is, first of all, deception, false teaching, false doctrines from the first century down to the 21st century. There's always been cults outside the church, heresies within the church, seduction of secular thinking even within the church. Satan's strategy to deceive. For he is the father of lies. He is a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. He tries to tell us we're worthless. He tries to whisper doubts in our heart and in our mind. He attacks our assurance of salvation. You're not really a Christian. Look what you just did, right? He is the great accuser, lying, untruth. In fact, Satan seeks to undermine the very basis and foundation of truth today. Today, there is, all through the foundation of our society and culture, this idea that there is no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as true truth. It's all relative, right? What's right for you may not be right for me. It's all contextualized. It depends on where you live. It depends on God. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, which is already in the world, tries to take the place of Antichrist. Literally in Greek, not only means against Christ, but it also means in place of Christ. And so this strategy of the devil to try and break down the very foundation of truth is very subtle, very universal. Relativism, don't believe it. There is truth with a capital T, and that rhymes with G. Stands for God. I made that up myself just now. Anyhow, I know, you gotta have a little fun. Our spiritual protection, therefore, is to know the truth. We need to come to know and understand what is true. We need to know what and why we believe it. Those who go off to college, for example, with just a very little understanding of their Christian background into which they've been born, are easy picking for the cults and for the false teachings and for the secularism of our world. We need to know the truth. How do you recognize a counterfeit? Suppose you're given a $20 bill. How do you know if it's genuine or counterfeit? The best way is to know what is real. Know the real, genuine article. You know, the paper that is genuine. There are lots of counterfeits out there. But if you know what the real one looks like, you can recognize the counterfeit. To counter Satan, we need to know not only what we believe deeply, but we need to know why we believe it. Memorize Scripture. Study it daily. Jesus used Scripture to counter and fight the devil in the wilderness and the temptation. Remember the temptation of the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, that lush surrounding. The second Adam, Jesus, was tempted in a desert, in the wilderness, but he stood his ground, quoting Scripture. It is written, the great reversal. Jesus turned the tables using the truth. So our spiritual protection is the belt of truth buckled around us. Secondly, we have in the whole armor of God the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And the function of a breastplate for a soldier would protect the heart and all the vital organs, just like a bulletproof vest on a soldier or on a police officer today. I want to protect those things. Satan's strategy. Some of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson back in the day. The devil made me do it. Remember that? No, probably not. You're too young for that. But anyhow, Satan can't make you do anything, but he'll try to make you. He will tempt you. He will seduce you, tempting to sin and unrighteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is essential. And as we are tempted, we need to make sure we have that in place and are not vulnerable to this strategy, because the accusation of sin or guilt, ho diabolos, the devil, the Greek word for devil is diabolos, literally is the accuser. He comes trying to lay guilt and oppress us, accuse us. That brings oftentimes depression. That brings spiritual immobility, keeps us from moving and growing spiritually. So important that we understand his strategy here and have our spiritual protection, the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the righteousness of Christ. Have your heart cleansed. Have your mind washed with the clear water of Christ's cleansing, the cloak of righteousness. Not only the righteousness of Christ covering you, but holy living, righteousness as you practice, as you grow more and more into His likeness, righteous living. Nothing beats a clear conscience. That's our spiritual protection. Well, I'm going to cover one more this morning, and that is having our boots ready, having our feet shod with the gospel of peace, our witness, our boots ready with the witness of the gospel, right? The function of boots for a soldier. Why don't you see army guys wearing flip-flops? Right? No. That just wouldn't do. Soldiers' footwear needs to be sturdy, thick-soled. Roman soldiers back in the day actually had cleats, because not only their spears and their swords, but their cleats were weapons. Okay? Plus they were walking and marching, trampling the enemy underfoot. The Bible talks about making God's enemies a footstool under his feet. So it is. We need to be wearing the holy footwear of the boots of witness. Satan's strategy is to lull us to sleep. Right? How many are awake? Right? No, just... It's a little too late in the sermon to be asking that, but I'll ask it anyhow. We need to be on alert. We need to be awake. One of the most insidious spiritual dangers is Satan's mesmerizing effect. You don't really need to pay attention. Just relax. It's a little sleepy. It's a little warm in here. I'm getting drowsy. No. Satan's strategy, lulling us to sleep, just like if you're not aware of any conflict. Christian schools and Christian colleges are great, but there's no opposition. Those especially in the midst of church need to be aware that out there, sometimes in here, there is an antagonist. And so we need to be ready, not in a false sense of security to take away our spiritual discipline. We need to be prepared. Satan's strategy is to take away our edge so that we're not in shape or ready for the battle. Sometimes our enemy catches us unguarded, like the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor, like the terrorists did 9/11, like unprepared. Didn't expect that. Our protection is to keep our shoes on. Back when I was in seminary, I was youth pastor of a church, and we went on this Christian camping experience, and the next to last night there in camp, I noticed that the guys in my cabin were wearing their shoes to bed. Right? You don't have to be a tenderfoot counselor, right, to know that there's something afoot when kids wear their shoes to bed. So I propped myself up against the door to the cabin, and when they certainly got up and ready to sneak out at night, I said, "Hi, guys." Right? They were ready to get out, but no, they didn't. Sorry. The disciplines of evangelism, of witness, keeping us on our toes is part of God's plan and our protection. Well, next week we'll follow up with the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But today, throughout this week especially, as the enemy's activity is growing intense, be awake, be alert. Don't be alarmed, but be armed for this daily challenge. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great protection, that you are great within us, that you give us the resources of your power through your Holy Spirit abiding within us. Arm us. Cover us with your whole armor, that we might not be vulnerable but clearly protected against the flaming arrows, the darts of the enemy. Help us, Lord, to fall not into temptation, to trust you fully with our faith because of the truth of the gospel, which is our solid, sure foundation. We look to you, we trust you, we thank you that you go with us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.